Hold your place in Exodus 1 and turn to Psalm 34. Look at verse number 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. That means listen, pay attention. Don't just hear me, but listen, get it. Hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now go back to Exodus. We're looking this morning at the fear of the Lord. The word translated fear about 168 times in your Bible, that's the way it was translated, was fear. It is also translated awe, A-W-E. It is also translated terror. So there's a lot of uses of it, but so it's a broad word. It is translated reverence and respect. Because we live in such a broken, messed up world, I wish I could just say, you know, the same kind of respect / fear you had for your daddy. But half of my congregation, when I say that, they get a sick feeling in the pit of their stomach. They're like, ooh, that's not the view of God I want to think of. God loves you. God gave Himself for you. Calvary was so dark and so ugly, God had to turn away. He wasn't trying to hurt Jesus. It killed Him because He is a God of love to see His Son become sin for us. No, He couldn't look on the sin. That was part of the reason He turned. But imagine the heart of a God who loves us that much looking on His Son suffering that way. So God is the perfect Father. And the perfect Father would deserve fear and reverence. If you're acting a fool, it's a word they used to use, if you're acting a fool, you'd have a little terror. Did your mama ever say, wait till your daddy gets home? You wasn't dancing down at the end of the gravel road by the mailbox. This is where I found myself. I was in the garden hoeing. Son, I look like Johnny Appleseed. There wasn't a weed on the property if mama said, wait till your daddy gets home. She didn't buy it and he didn't either. Some of y'all's like Play-Doh, you manipulated by your youngins. Miss Pam, I need a witness, okay? She's my generation. We look at some of y'all, we're like, ooh, she's 3 1/2. You wait till she's 13 1/2. Don't let them massage you and manipulate you like a piece of clay, okay? So we're talking about fear, and it's all those definitions. Now look with me, please, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other, Puah. If you ladies are glad your name is not Pua, this would be the appropriate time for an amen. That's not who we are today. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and you see them upon the stools, that was a device aimed to help the lady be in the very best position for an easy delivery. I know absolutely nothing about delivering babies. If it be a son, kill him. But if it be a daughter, she shall live. Here's my text. But the midwives feared God. But the midwives feared God. We live in a sick, perverted, warped culture that can't even think straight. They have chosen, Ashley, in Romans 1, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, And therefore, it has started our culture on a toboggan slide, and we are way down the slope near the bottom where there's nothing but lives that have been destroyed. We live in a culture that knows nothing about the fear of God. The fear of God will not save you, but it gives you a whole lot better chance of hearing and responding to the gospel. My daddy told me when he was a little boy, drunks would go down the road, and when they got in front of the church, they took their hat off. And when they got past the church, they put their hat back on. That didn't save anybody, but that reverence and respect for God served them well. It kept that heart tender toward the things of God. So we got to have the fear of God. Okay, let's keep going. They did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the men child alive. Give me 60 seconds. It is not today's message, but I want you to hear it. And I want to thank you one more time for giving. We've changed it now in the last few months. We give every Sunday in Sunday school. If you're not in Sunday school and don't plan on coming, I would ask you to slip a dollar or a five once in a while to Brother Morrow. They keep the offering for the care packages we do for Open Arms. Okay? It's not today's message, but I do want to tell you something. God bless these midwives for standing up for life. And Sunday night, when Brother Williams preached on God put a life inside of me that made me more valuable than this whole world. One life is more valuable than the whole world. Let me tell you what was hitting on me sitting right there. If that don't give us a reason to fight for life and to stand up for life, I don't know what it is. You say, well, Brother Raines, that baby was conceived in fornication. It's life. The holy judge will work all of that out. A life has been conceived. We're going to love it. We're going to throw it a lifeline. We're going to tell that mama about Jesus. And we're going to pray as a church. I am longing, deeply burning, longing for the day when one of those families is sitting. I said families. When one of those families is sitting here and they say, we got this here, John and Romans, and it said start on page 42. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it said, turn to page 47, and it said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm begging God to let us reach somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? So stand up for life, okay? Verse number 19, the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, they are lively. I do not know what that says about the Egyptians. I ain't going there, but that's what the midwife said. And they are delivered ere, that means before, by the time we get there, by the time they text us and tell us to come, and we get there, they've done had their baby. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Came to pass, because the midwives feared God, he made them houses. I'll get there in a minute. Pharaoh charged all of his people, saying, every son that is born, cast him into the river. Every daughter you shall save alive. Look at verse number 20. God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. You should read what the commentators say about that verse. They stumble. They fall all over themselves. They're going, oh my word. Did God bless somebody for lying? No, God blessed somebody for protecting life. Acts 5, is it 19 or 29? Forgive me. Acts 5, it's either 19 or 29. Here it is. Here's the answer to Exodus chapter 1. We ought to obey God rather than man. When man-made government gets stupid, and the government of the United States of America has a whole lot of stupidity. Okay, if you don't think so, you ain't listening or reading. Good, not alive. I asked one lady, I said it to myself. I read it online, some ridiculous statement. And I said, did you take 7th grade U.S. history? have you taken 60 seconds to read the Bill of Rights? Y'all, he let us be born in America for a reason. If you don't know what your rights are, you can lose them and never know you had them to begin with. Here's what one man in the upstate said. He said, I don't need a concealed weapons permit. Y'all know why? He said, I got a Second Amendment. Okay? I'm just saying you better know what your rights are. And I listened to some of these so-called politicians, and I'm like, I taught sixth graders who were smarter than you. We ought to obey God rather than man. Now listen to me carefully. The Passover in Exodus chapter 12, when the innocent lamb was slain and the blood was placed on the doorpost. The Passover, when the death angel came through, he passed over the houses that had blood on the doorpost. That is a picture of Calvary. The innocent was slain for the guilty. The blood, we sing this, you've heard it. Some of you knew what it meant, some of you didn't. The blood was applied. That's why we know it's not the primary application, Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. That he's knocking at the door of the church wanting in. But we don't harm the scripture when we say, when we apply that to a sinner. Why? But the blood has to be applied to that door. And if you'll look at it, when it was applied, they told him to put it on either side and on the top. That blood they put at the top would have dripped. What do you have with blood at the top, both sides, and at the bottom? You have a beautiful Old Testament picture of the cross. God's had one way to save people since the Garden of Eden. Get that settled in your heart, because there's people refuting that. God has saved people one way. It was the blood of an innocent sacrifice and our faith and acceptance in that sacrifice. But the Passover took place. Then they got out of Egypt. They get up to the Red Sea and they're standing there and they're like, what do we do now? And God tells Moses, he said, if you'll start walking, I'll go to working. If you'll start walking, I'll go to working. So they started walking and the Red Sea starts going to either side. They went through it and came out on the other side and it came back in. Do you know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of the burial and the resurrection. When they came out on the other side, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what, between the Passover and the Red Sea, what do you have? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's how God's been saving people since the beginning. That's why in those Old Testament sacrifices, they killed one and set the other one free. He couldn't raise, he could, he chose not to. He killed one, he let the other go free. They were a unit, and that one was a picture of the fact that they were dead and now they're living again. God has had one way to save people since the beginning of time. But I want you to understand something. You're going to have to listen. We get this in our head, well, God was going to make that happen. God orchestrates events, but he gives us choices. Now listen to me very, very carefully. This is the message in a nutshell, and then going to make a few application principles. Please get this. It'll help you. Who led them out of Egypt? Moses. The Passover, the Red Sea, the confrontation with Pharaoh. Listen to me, church. None of that could have happened if these simple midwives doing their job had not been obedient. Most of the commentators say for the population of that time between Egypt and Israel, roughly in the 3 to 5 million range, they said in all likelihood there was more than two midwives. They said these probably represented the midwives. We don't even have to go there. Let's just talk about the two. Had they not been obedient to God, history would have been changed. He gives us choices. And aren't you glad those two women feared God? Let's look at some simple principles that I think will help you. I want to say this before we go one more time. Everybody I talk to who God starts stirring in their heart. I talked to a young man yesterday, 2 hours. They're like, I want to do something great. I said, that's noble. What's He got you doing today? Before you go to bed tonight, what does He want you to do? And they always tell me, nobody's ever said, oh, well, I don't know. I've got to do this, and I need to do this, and it's still winter, and if I get an emergency, I've got a job. They know. And I said, keep doing it. And if He has something else He wants you to do, guess what? You're going to be the first one He tells. And that conversation yesterday illustrates what I'm preaching this morning. That young man said, I want to do something great. I want to serve. I want to lead a ministry. And before the conversation was over, he said, by the way, before I go, I got to tell you this. I've got a Bible verse on my business card. And Thursday, when the customer was about to pay me, they said, I got a question for you. I've been thinking about that verse ever since you made the bid 2 weeks ago. Can you tell me what that verse means? And he said, preacher, for the next 2 hours, I told him what God's done in my life. And he said, a husband and a wife sat at a kitchen table and said, I've cleaned up. I'm sober. I hadn't been high. I hadn't been drunk. I'm not abusing. I'm not using. We've been this way for the last 18 months. But here's what the man said. He said, things still aren't peachy. What was he saying in his own words? There's still something missing in my heart. And I grabbed that young man's hand and I said, I commend you for wanting to do more. I said, how many of us got to spend 2 hours not forcing ourselves on anybody, but because somebody wanted to hear what? Did any of you get a 2-hour witness and opportunity this week? Those are few and far between. And he went, you're right. I said, you're going to keep looking at another state. You're going to keep looking at some big fancy ministry with a name, and you're going to miss opportunities that are all around you. Oh, I hope the Lord will help us this morning. I want you to look at 3 or 4 simple things about the fear of God. By way of introduction, look at chapter 1, verse 9. This is borderline between introduction and the first point. I'll let you put it where it needs to go. Look at verse 9. And he said unto his people, this is Pharaoh. Listen to me, church. He is the leader of the world's only superpower. If you paid any attention in world history in junior high and high school, if you paid any attention at all, you know that at this period of time, Egypt had it going on. Engineering, you looked at any of the things they created? I'm about to meddle and quit preaching and go to meddling. We can't build a bridge. Anybody hit a pothole lately? We think they were cavemen dragging women by the head. No. They had it going on. And here is the leader of said country talking to 2 midwives and going, the midwives hadn't got there yet. Look at verse 9. The people of the children of Israel more and mightier than we. If you miss this, you've missed the whole message. Brother Youngblood, that statement is not true. I didn't say there was an error in your Bible. I said Pharaoh made a mistake. Y'all get this and it'll help you. Pharaoh has this people. Most of the historians and even Bible commentators, some spiritual, some not, some religious, some just from an archaeological viewpoint, will tell you this. In all likelihood, Egypt had between 3 and 4 million at this time. Most of them agree that the children of Israel were real close to 1 million. He had the children of Israel outnumbered 3 or 4 to 1. But when he looks out his window, all he can see is children of Israel. And he says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's more of them than there is of us. No, there weren't. If you'll follow God, if you'll live for God, if you'll serve God, God will confound your enemies. Put him on the throne, leave him there, keep him in first place, and lost people, bosses who hate you because you're a Christian, family member that hate you because you're trying to live for Jesus, God will make them as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Look at verse 15. The king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives and said, when you do the office of a midwife, see them upon the stools. We'll stop there. I'm just kind of bridging from that introduction over to this point. The opposition. When you fear God, He will confuse those who oppose you. I'm going to say it again and I'm moving on. The leader of the world's only superpower is appealing to two midwives going, I need y'all's help. I'm about to lose everything I've got. Why is the leader of the world's only superpower talking to two women who catch babies? Why? Because they fear God and He doesn't. There's blessings in fearing God. All those definitions. So, Brother Raines, there's so much money to be made. You fear God and let Him take care of the money. But there's a position they're offering me down at town hall. You fear God and let Him take care of the positions. Moses, Joseph, Esther, all of those Old Testament examples of people who got high-ranking positions. Did they lobby and campaign and press the flesh to get those positions? No. Normally, from one day to the next, God took them and elevated them. What I'm saying, Brother Youngblood, when we fear God, there are blessings that accompany. I got to say it. Some of you fear man more than you do God. Some of you sitting here this morning fear man more than you fear God. Well, they said this would happen to me if I didn't do it. I'm going to obey God rather than man. We're talking about the blessings of fearing God. 1 Corinthians 1:27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Obey God. Fear God. Follow God. Serve God. He'll take care of your family. He'll take care of your job. He'll take care of your finances. I don't know who the Lord's dealing with this morning. Quit relying on your human reasoning. Do right. Fear God. There's blessings that come from it. Go back to your text, Exodus. Not only is God using them to confound and to confuse those who supposedly have it all together. Look at the blessing God pours out on them. Look in chapter 1, verse 21. It came to pass because the midwives, would you say those next two words? He made them houses. That don't mean a structure down the road in the gated community. House in the Bible means a family. A friend of mine whose wife was a nurse taught this to me 25 years ago in an auditorium Sunday school class. And he was weeping and teaching, probably the best Bible expositor, Brother Mike, I've ever heard in my entire life. And he said, God showed me as I studied this passage that these women were barren. And that's why they chose the occupation of being a midwife. And God opened up their womb and granted unto them children. And as only a wife can do, he shared that with his wife. And he thought she'd be as happy as he was. And she went, you didn't know that? And she was a sweet lady. She wasn't mean. She said, you didn't already know that? He said, no, the Lord just showed it to me. She said, honey, she said, every nurse on the OB floor is barren. She said, why do you think we choose to work in the nursery? Why do you think we want to be around babies? And I'm not here. I can't tell you God's going to give you a baby. But I can tell you God's going to bless you when you choose to fear Him. What else are you going to choose? If God's not in first place, who is? Sometimes it's myself. Sometimes it's somebody that I think I have to have. Ladies, oh, listen to me. There ain't no man worth it. And I'll let Chris tell the ladies if she wants to flip the coin. I'll let Chris say that to her ladies. I can safely tell the ladies, no man's worth it. Until Jesus gets a hold of us, we're selfish. God will bless you when you fear Him, when you reverence Him, when He's first place. I need you to listen. And like Brother Mike Bagwell, I'd love a good amen after this. When you put Him in first place, and what He thinks about you matters more than what anybody else thinks about you. The outpouring that confirms this fear. Chapter 2, verse 2. Let's read verse 1. You there? 2:1. There went a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. Everybody listen to the preacher. God still wants men marrying women. Look at me. There's no such thing as gender confusion. There's sin. There's sin running rampant in the streets. God's not confused. I don't care if New York State says there's seven genders. God's not. There's no gender confusion in God's world. Two, get this. The woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw he was a goodly child, she, say the next word. Miss Emily, I love this one. The obedience that is contagious. Who was the first one that denied the king's orders? The midwives. Sometime later, Jochebed delivers a baby, and she knew what those midwives had done, and she said, they decided it was better to obey God rather than man. I think I'll obey God rather than man. When you choose to fear God, somebody's watching you, and they'll choose to fear God. When you back up, you're going to hinder somebody else. I won't ask for a response because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Daniel, I think knowing dear old dad was still sitting at his place made coming back a little bit easier. Fred, been more than one time in the last 2 years, you was ready to bail. The enemy attacked you. I'd say, how you doing? He'd say, I'm struggling today, preacher. I said, I'm hoping God gets all over you. And before church is over, he'd be back there blubbering like an 18-month-old. I'd say, can you hang in there another week? He'd say, yes, sir, I think I can. You bail, those brothers, they'll laugh up their sleeves. I knew he would. You keep fearing God. I don't know what they're doing this morning. I don't doubt for a minute you hadn't crossed their mind at least once when they went, oh, it's Sunday again. I know where Stephen is. Keep fearing God. Y'all ain't giving up. Don't you give up. If you need some R&R, let us know. But don't get giving up ain't an option. You keep fearing God. Lastly, when Jesus was on the cross, we usually see a picture of him in a row. I've read that in all likelihood his cross was here, and just a few feet away was this one. And a few feet away was this one. And they're talking back and forth. And the one on the left starts mocking him, calls him names. And the one on the right says to the one on the left, the two thieves, the one on the right says to the one on the left, dost thou not fear God? Seeing we are in the same condemnation. Here's Jesus. Here's the one on the right. And he looks to the one on the left and he says, don't you fear God? Seeing we're in the same boat and we deserve to be here. We're sinners. He's innocent. What was he telling the one on the left? You need a good dose of fear. A few hours later, this one's in paradise. A few hours later, this one's in hell. And the difference, Brother Morgan, was the fear of God. Do you fear Him? Do you think about Him during the day? When somebody cranks trash up at work, man, that grieves my spirit. When the devil lays another temptation out there in front of you, do you fear God enough to do it His way instead of the flesh's way? A child is going to have a different understanding of the fear of God than an adult who's gone down a long sinful road. But every one of us needs a healthy, holy fear of God. I dare say in that ministry therein, once they read enough scripture and the Holy Spirit saturates enough hearts and tenderizes enough hearts, once there's a fear of God in that person, getting them saved's the easy part. Do you fear Him? Do you know Him? Do you love Him? If you don't, today'd be a wonderful day to call on Jesus and be born again. Let Him change your life and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus.